Romans chapter 15 is our text tonight. Father, we thank you. We're grateful for this meeting. Thank you for the day, the week, and the hours of today. We're grateful for every privilege to meet together as a church, to pray, to fellowship, to receive of your word. We ask that tonight, in this meeting, you help our hearts to find spiritual development. You help our minds to discover. You help our hearts to discover spiritual growth in your word by your spirit. We ask that in every heart, let your word be resounding. Let the strength of your word lay hold on our hearts, even as our hearts lay hold on your word. We ask you tonight to help us to be further established in your counsel, in your plans and purposes. Help us to see as we ought to see in your word. We ask that tonight every heart will be filled with light, with revelation, as we've been treated. We find it easy to be treated in our hearts by your word. We find it very easy to be persuaded by your word. We ask that your counsel will fill our hearts. As your counsel fills our hearts, it replaces every thought, opinion, mindset, experience, nuances, belief system that are not yet yielded to your counsel. We find ourselves yielded to your word in every aspect of our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. We ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Romans chapter 15, the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Amen. I'll talk from there for a while, look at other texts. So, now, life, basically, hallelujah, is full of adventures, what I can call adventures. Life, you know, life is not an adventure, but life contains adventures. Praise the Lord. It depends on what you understand by the word adventure. Life, you know, contains adventures, even though life is not an adventure. Amen. You know, what do I mean by adventures? I'm talking about moments, you know, great moments. Life is full of diverse kind of moments. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Life is full of different kind of moments. You know, give back to a child, and then the child begins to have experiences. You know, if it's a tiny little child, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine in the UK some weeks ago. I mean, somewhere outside the country, was talking to me about the health of a little child. I was talking about the health of a little child, you know, as in the child had been born three to four months before the child ought to have been born. The child had been born, so they had to put a kid on different machines, and you know, so it got to a very critical state. So the person said, wow, let's call Pastor Kevin, you know, so he can start in faith with us. And it was quite a very critical, you know, situation. When they sent me a picture, I was like, what the hell? Why should a little child at this age be going through this? Had all sorts of things blocked, had passed things into the nostrils, into the body, to deliver stuff to the child. And then the child was there barely 6 months. So, wow. What's the doctor saying? Is he going to survive? He says, I don't know. Put it in incubator, brought it out again, put it another one. Just, yeah, spending money. And then, you know, I think that was about 2 months ago or so, about 2 months now. And then, yeah, I got a report some days ago that the child is free and excellently. I mean, the baby girl is fine. They even named the child, you know, a miracle, and that's beautiful. And then, you know, the mother had been up and down in her emotions and all that. But whether you like it or not, the little child has started having experiences. And that's how life is. The little child has started having, you know, experiences. Praise God. You know, it's not all the experiences in life. When I told the mother, I said, well, I mean, the person that was talking to me, I said, well, one thing about from experience, from history, from experience, you know, sometimes you just combine a little bit of history with your own experience plus common sense, you can, and maybe God's word, then you can predict the future. Yeah, you don't have to see visions to predict the future. A combination of history, a combination of common sense with history, with experience, and God's word, many times you can predict. And I told them, I said, well, one thing about this child is that this is the kind of people that grow so strong in life, you know, and as they grow, they begin to demonstrate a level of resilience, you know, resilience to life. They come out very strong-hearted in life. I mean, I don't mean strong-hearted as by being stubborn. I mean, these are the kind of people that you observe this trait in them, that they do not give up on things easily. The child might not even be aware, but the child has started, you know, I don't want to use the word struggling, but has started, you know, wrestling, let me use that word, at that age. And I say that to encourage, you know, the parents and the adults around the child. But again, that's an experience. Hallelujah. You know, the child is not even 9 months. That's an experience. So, in life, we will find diverse kinds of experiences. I'm bringing to you God's word. Is it clear? Open your hearts. You'll find diverse kinds of experiences. Sometimes the experiences that, you know, comes to you personally. Some other times, it could be experiences that go to you indirectly. Indirectly means it go to someone you knew, and that someone is linked to you, and then you begin to feel that experience also. Are we together? Are we together? So life is filled with experiences. Glory to God. For example, look at James. Now, I'm trying to introduce my subject, okay? So follow me. James dealt a lot with Christian maturity and conduct. Book of James deals a lot with Christian maturity, spiritual development, and the fruits of it, conduct. Praise the Lord. So in James chapter 5, James 5. Now look at verse 12. He says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, these are the teachings of Jesus, of course, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. 15 is my third. In 15 he says, can we take 15 together, we want to go? If any among you is any among you afflicted, let's go. Now you know that's a moment, isn't it? That's an experience. And James is talking to Christians. He says, is any among you afflicted? Now, he's not asking a question so that the church will now say no or yes, no. No. It's actually, you know, more or less like a rhetoric. Since At times, you experience afflictions. Now, he's not talking about a demon entering you and troubling you and causing you to vomit all over your body. Praise God. Here some folks, he said, vomit it. Vomit it. Vomit it. Vomit it. So the thing, when you vomit it, demons have come out. Praise God. Since there are moments of afflictions. Why? James is talking about periods that happens to all of us. Things that happen to all of us. Do we do God? Is any among you afflicted? He says, let him what? Pray. Hallelujah. Then he says, is any merry? That has the opposite of, you know, moments of affliction. Affliction could be, you know, persecution. Are we together? Affliction could be, you know, times when not so good moments. Not too good moments. Not too good moments. We all have not too good moments. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, say, what do you do in the not too good moments? You don't have someone to ask. Where is God? Asking yourself. Ask someone, say, what do you do in your not too good moments? Praise the Lord. Look at what James says. James says what? Let him what? Let him what? Let him pray. Now he didn't say let her pray. But you know that the him there is not just referring to a gender, right? Right? All right. So, and the writer is not gender biased. It's English, like bringing the word him out. It's fine. He says, let him pray. Let her pray. Then he says, is any marriage? Merry. Those are good moments. Someone say good moments. Yeah. He says, let him what? Sing psalms. Then he says, if any is any sick among you, he says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. You see, he says, let him pray, isn't it? Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they forgiven him. I said in the originals. Praise God. So he says, is any among you afflicted? And James is talking about two very common and opposite realities of every human life. Two very common but opposite realities. Praise God. He says, let him pray. He says, let him pray. Let him pray. Let him pray. James is saying, look at this. James is saying, there must be things that you do consistently. So James is saying, there must be things that you do consistently. Hallelujah. You know, some 12 to 15 years ago, I came across a statement. Later I discovered who had made it was Gloria Copeland. Gloria Copeland is the wife of Kenneth Copeland, you know, minister of the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Gloria Copeland said, in consistency, therein lies power. Consistency releases the power in what you're doing. The power of what I'm doing is not realized when I have not added what? Consistency. Praise the Lord. Step, praise the Lord. Consistency. Amen. Consistency. Consistency. Hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 15, quickly, don't say consistency. Yeah. Looking at learning the word properly. Or learning properly. All right. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Paul writes, he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Someone say learning. "That we, through patience and comfort which the scripture provides." That is comfort of the scriptures. When it says the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, you know, it couldn't mean that the scripture is patient. It's a human being that is patient, isn't it? Alright. So when it says the comfort of the scriptures, it means the comfort that is found. Are we there? Alright. So it says that we, through patience and the comfort which is found in the scriptures, he says, might have hope. Assurance, that's the word hope there. So the things in the scriptures were written aforetime for our learning. Learning. That we, now that learning is another word for spiritual development. They were written for our spiritual development. The scriptures. The things that were written in scriptures were written for our spiritual development. The things that were written in the scriptures were written for our spiritual development. The things that were written in the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, by extension, the other books we have into Revelation, but the things that were written in the scriptures, he says, were written for our spiritual development. The things that were written in the scriptures, the things that were documented in the scriptures, the things that were recorded in the scriptures, the things that were penned down, that were written, recorded, set together, binded together for us, as you have in your hands right now, those things written there, it says, were written for one purpose. It says, for our spiritual development. For our learning. That we, through patience and the comfort which the scriptures provide, we will have assurance. Hallelujah. So growth is the fruit of assurance which the scriptures provide. Hallelujah. It says we're written for our learning. Earlier on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, sorry, later book, as arranged, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happen unto them," for examples, "they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." The ends of the world again. He says the ends of the world are come unto us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says the Holy Scriptures makes wide unto salvation. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God's profitable for doctrine. Then it says for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture given for teaching. Then he says, for nurture in right living. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So look at this. We have a duty to learn. Amen. Yahweh did it to learn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a duty to what? To learn. We have a duty to keep learning. And that means much. We have a duty to learn. We have a duty to keep what? Learning. Glory to God. So look at what I said earlier. I said, life is full of what? Moments. Right? We can use another word. We can use the word seasons. Life comes with its seasons. Praise God. And God wants you to be wise. God wants you to be smart. You know, a Christian has to be smart, intelligent. Hallelujah. So, part of our intelligence as Christians is knowing that we have different moments in life. It's part of our intelligence. It's part of our intelligence. Praise the Lord. So, part of our intelligence is realizing that what? Life comes with its what? Seasons. Some folks don't know. Say, I know. Life comes in its what? Seasons. Life coming in its what? Seasons. Life coming in its what? Seasons. Life comes in its what? Seasons. Life comes in its what? Seasons. There are diverse seasons in life. Have you read in the scriptures the phrase times and seasons? Have you read those phrases times and seasons? You know, we even sing it. Times and seasons. Now, times is different from seasons. But the season is what determines the time. So, how am I going to know it's time for something? I have to check, is it the what? The season. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? The seasons determines the what? The times. The seasons. So I'm going to know, oh, it's time for this when I look at the season. So look at this. Am I supposed to be looking out for time or seasons? Am I supposed to be sensitive to time or seasons? Seasons. You know, he uses an agricultural term because the scriptures has an agrarian background. The season. What season are we? Sometimes as a church, we ask, what season are we? What season are we? So look at this. Life has different seasons. And different times in those seasons. So it's part of my intelligence to life to see that there are many seasons. And part of those seasons are moments that we call great moments. James called it. He says, there are moments where you're married, there are moments where you're not too happy, something like that. Praise the Lord. as I praise God. But look at this. When we have good moments, God wants us to live our lives beyond moments. He wants us to live our lives beyond great moments, beyond great moments. Praise God. You know, you ask a brother in church, you meet a brother in the church, you ask him, says, how are you doing? And then the brother says, oh, I'm doing just fine. Don't be shocked. Don't be deceived. That brother might not be having a good moment at that time. But look at this. You have found somebody who lives beyond what? Moments. That's why he has the response. Because sometimes you feel when someone says, oh, I'm doing just fine. He says, wow, I wish I'm like that brother. You don't know what the brother is going through. Praise God. You don't know. Hallelujah. There was a time like that, I wanted to do a business. I think that was 2016, 2017. So I put the money into the business. And all the money went down. 2016, about half a million. Yep. In 2016. I put about 500,000, more than that, into a business. It went like this in my eyes. Praise God. We wanted to buy commodities somewhere and then bring and then resell. We take it to his own market, then we resell. Then the fellow who we are sent out just called. He said, Kevin. Praise God. That's why he called me. He says, Kevin, you can't believe what just happened. He's an Hausa man. Oh God. I said, what just happened? Then he explained and explained and explained and explained and explained and explained. It was a Wednesday. Hallelujah. It was a Wednesday. We used to have our midweek services on Wednesday. So I got to teach in the evening. It was even in the afternoon he called me. Oh God, I was lost in thought. Praise God. And I came around. Amen. And we taught God's word. Have a very great evening that evening. All those nights we are in campus. Praise God. So sometimes you ask someone and says, how are you doing? The parents is fine. Well, you might just have found somebody who has learned to live his life beyond great moments, in quotes. Someone say consistency. Hallelujah. Consistency. Amen. So we don't live, we don't build our lives, our Christian lives, on great moments. What are great moments? I'm going to explain shortly. Great moments. God wants us to go beyond moments. He wants us to be consistent. Hallelujah. So look at this. Being consistent means there is something you live by day and night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Being consistent means what? It means what? There's something you live by. Being consistent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be consistent? Look at this. Being consistent means there's a response I'll always have because of something.
being consistent means there's something that makes me to already have a response at all moments. There's something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something that makes me to always have a kind of response at the different times that comes to me. Tell someone, say consistency. That's it. You go beyond great moments. Hallelujah. Go beyond great moments. You go beyond moments of excitement. God wants you to go beyond moments of excitement. Hallelujah. 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 Look at this. Because now, if you understand what I'm driving at, you will discover the strength for the not so good moments. If you were to grasp what I'm sharing with you, you will discover the strength. Some Christians are not strong. Oh, they are not strong. They are not strong. God wants you to be a strong Christian. A strong Christian means a consistent Christian. A consistent Christian. That's what God wants you to be. God wants you to be a consistent Christian. Day and night, it means we'll find you at your post. Day and night, it means we'll find the same confession on your lips. Day and night, it means you'll find the same approach in your life. Day and night, it means you'll find the same thoughts on your mind. Day and night, it means we'll find you in the same location through the times and seasons of life. Day and night, it means we'll find the same confession on your heart, on your mouth. Day and night, it means we'll find the same approach. We'll find the same method day and night, because you have mastered how to have the approach during the good moments, how to have the same approach during the not too good moments of life. Hallelujah. God wants you to find that thing that makes you consistent. Someone say consistent. Hallelujah. Consistent. One whole year, consistent. 2 years, consistent. 3 years, consistent. 4 or 5 years, consistent. Hallelujah. I don't give up on walking in love. I'm consistent. Walking in love, I'm consistent. Hallelujah. Don't say, hey, when did you start acting like this? You didn't used to act like this before. You used to be soft and loving and caring. What happened to you? Why are you suddenly, changed? What happened to you? Then you don't say, well, the eyes of my mercy has busted. You don't say things like that. If you say that in Yoruba, you get it. Say, the eyes of my mercy has busted. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm consistent. So we're going to find consistency in this particular teaching. Is it clear? What does consistency mean? Hang in there. Tell your neighbor, say, hang in there. Someone say, oh, you used to pray for 2-3 hours every day. Those are the days I wasn't busy. Those are the days I was on campus. I didn't have much. But these days, there's so much on me. So you stop praying? No. Sometimes you don't know that the goodness of today were because of the seeds of prayers you sow yesterday. And if only you could continue to sow more seeds of prayer, then you are beyond the enemy's reach. But because you are not smart, we are not praying because we don't have much in our hands to do. We are not busy. No. We are praying because prayer is the key. Consistency. Hallelujah. So we're looking at living by the word. Living by the word. Now, quickly, I'll answer your question tonight. What is the word? When you hear the word, W-O-R-D, what does the Bible mean by the word? In John's Gospel, chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, that enemy was made, that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Light shines in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. Hell, the man sent from God, name was John, saying, came for a witness, bear witness of the light, that all men dream, I believe, was not the light, but sent their witness of the light. That was the true light. The light is every man to come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, he then gave him the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In 17, the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the Word of God is a person. Hallelujah. The very first thing we see, you understand, in the Word, is that the Word is a person. The person of Jesus. Why is Jesus the Word of God? Because Jesus personalizes the counsel of God. He personalizes the counsel of God. So the Word is a person. And look at this. The Word is also a counselor. The Word of God also describes the counsel of God. God's counsel for the earth. God's counsel for his creation. God's counsel for man. God's counsel for you. Hallelujah. God's counsel for our lives is also called the Word. So is the Word a person? Yes. The Word also refers to the counsel of God for our lives. That is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God. So when we say, are you learning the Word? We're referring to, are you learning of the counsel of God for our lives? Are you learning? Are you growing in the Word? Means, are you growing in the counsel of God for your life? And look at this. Let me tell you this quickly. Who means this? There is no greater sign that you are learning something than your fruits, your conduct. There is no greater proof. There is no greater sign. There is no greater assurance that you are learning something or that you've learned something than your actions. Your actions. Because your actions are the fruits of learning. Your actions. Now, how do I know the difference between a common person who is not medically inclined and a medical doctor or medical officer? When there's a need for medical attention, it's expected that there is a special way that the medical officer will attend to that issue. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago, some 15 years ago, about thereabout, there was this accident, an automobile crash somewhere in Ibadan. So, you know, the people came together and then took the fellow who was in the crash. They took him to the hospital. They took him to the University College Hospital in Ibadan. And by the time he got there, the fellow had died. The fellow had died. Now, the fellow himself was a medical officer, a doctor. He had died. So by the time they got there, and then they started discussing, some of my friends were there also, and then they were discussing, the medical folks that were there, they said, well, it wasn't even the accident that killed him. He said what killed him was the way he was handled while transporting him to the hospital. Yeah, because he had a fracture somewhere around the bone, around the legs, the limbs, one of the limbs, he had a fracture. So by the time they got there, they said, well, what had happened was that the fracture had perforated one of the nerves. Veins that punctured the veins. While they were moving him, he had a fracture, so as they were lifting his leg. So they had lifted his leg in a way that, you know, the sharp bone had now punctured a blood vessel. See, that was what killed him. And not even the accident on the scene. Now, definitely there was a medical officer out there, so they were telling them, so my friend was now explaining to me this, what the other person was saying, that, you know, this is how they should have carried him, they should have done this, that when someone has an auto crash, there's a way they place them, and this and this. He said, whoa, oh, really? Really? Some people, when they had accidents, what killed them was not probably the injury or the impact of the accident. Some of them is the way they were carried to the hospital. You know, sometimes you carry somebody and then, let's say two people want to carry someone, and then one person will carry him here, the other will carry him here, and then the head would dangle. There was a doctor that was explaining that head that is dangling as they were going is what exactly will kill the person. Not the issue. Definitely, if you had a medical officer there, he would have been able to manage that situation. So there's a difference between a medically trained person and an ordinary person. Are we together? So it shows you that one of the signs that you have properly learned something is that your actions will show it. Your actions are going to show it. It will be seen in your conduct. If we can't see it, then you have not truly learned it. Are we together? So the counsel of God is also the word of God. Now, definitely, you know, sometimes when we say the counsel of God, some of us hear it very differently. The counsel of God is not God counseling you. Praise God. That's how some of us think. When we say the counsel of God, some of us think we are saying God is counseling you. No. We're going to see the different words for God's counsel as we study on. The counsel of God refers to God's instruction. God's what? Instruction. God's instruction. Does God instruct us? Yes. Does God counsel us? No. God instructs us. Not God counseling you. Who are you that God is counseling? It's an instruction. Tell your neighbor, say it's an instruction. God's word is an instruction. Right. There's no CRK here. God's word is what? A charge. An order. But because it's not out of coercion, it shows you the what, the why, the how. Then it tells you, do it. Praise God forevermore. So the word of God is a person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the knowledge of that person is also called what? The word. I say it again, the word of God is a person. And the knowledge of that person is also called the word. So So before you say that somebody is preaching the word, before you say someone is teaching the word, is the person teaching the knowledge of the person called the word? Hallelujah. And the difference between somebody who is learning the word and another who is not learning is what? Is what? What will be the difference? What will be the difference? What will be the difference? Actions. Conduct. You know why? Because your conduct reflects how you think. How you think. How you think. You know, I didn't even say what you are thinking. I said how you think. Your conduct reflects how you think. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say your conduct describes how you think. Say it again, your conduct describes how you think. Tell your neighbor again, say your conduct describes how you think. Say it again. The person has not heard you well. You are not saying it well. Say it to the person again. You don't even have somebody that you will say it to. Find somebody and say it to the person. Say it again. Keep saying it till I stop you. Some of you are saying how you see it. Is that what I said? I said how you what? Think. And some of you are like, why is Pastor talking to us like we are children? This day? Am I making you feel like babies? Am I making you to feel like babies? Maybe what I'm teaching is not for you. Is it for you? Or am I denigrating you? Am I putting you down by the things I'm saying? Are you bigger than what I'm saying? All right. So say it to yourselves. Your conduct what reflects, describes how you what? How you think. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. So my conduct describes how I what? So look at it. If you cannot show it, amen, then you do not understand it. If we cannot see it, then you have not truly learned it. Say that one. Say, if we can't see it, tell your neighbor, say, if I can't see it, you have not truly learned it. Say to that person, say, if I can't see it, you have not truly learned it. Amen. Imagine we said, this brother should go and get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. 5 hours. You are still standing. Instead of you getting person filled, the person is almost emptying you. Are we together? Say we should get the person filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, take from what you have and get the person filled. Then the person is almost emptying you. Praise God. I remember someone I used to train way back in around 2012. I used to train her to get people filled. One day she went to fight the person that. I didn't know why I told them. I used to have this group of people I used to teach and train and pastor them. University of Battle. She had gone to them fight that person. I don't know why it said that evening that she got hungry. She just left the meeting and go dead. I've been trying to get you all of these days. I have not been feeling. We are speaking tongues now. And now then I'm not ready. When I'm ready, I'll let you know. Let them know. You have to be ready. And I say, I'm not ready. They say, dragging themselves. It's not about that. It's not about dragging people. Praise God. So I told them, I said, tomorrow you come to Chapel Field. When I go and pick that person, come to Chapel Field. The person goes to Chapel Field. In less than 10-15 minutes, he spoke with tongues. And she used to be, she, that one too was one very big girl. You know those big girls? I think maybe she's in her 200 or 300 level there. Big girls. She was in a level ahead of me. Stress, we use makeup and all that. By the time we're done with that, somebody had to go to our hostel and bring another clothes. So all of our bigness, the Holy Ghost just put everything in shambles. But she spoke with tongues. But we didn't fight her. We're not dragging each other. Praise God. So if you cannot do it, if you can't show it, you don't yet understand it. So I had to tell her, I said, what did I do? Did I drag her neck? No. Just lay hands. My hand has not even touched her head. Yes, now you're packing sand and all of that. It's not sand we ask you to pack. It's power. Amen. So you have to what? Show it. Tell someone, say, show the workings. Yes. If you have been learning God's word and regarding walking in love, we have to see it. Have to see it. So if we can't see it, we can't see it, If we can't see it, Thank you. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1. If you can't see it, you have not truly what? Learned it. If we can't see it, you have not truly what? Learned it. If we can't see it, you have not truly what? You have not truly learned it. Ephesians chapter 1. So the word of God refers to the person of Jesus. Amen. The word of God also refers to the knowledge of that person. The knowledge of that person. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says in verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It says, he will give unto you the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge, in the revelation, rather, which is revelation, rather, in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. So look at this. He says, he will give you the spirit of wisdom. We say that is the wisdom of the spirit, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, the question is, what is in that revelation? He says, the eyes of your understanding being opened, that is the revelation, that you may know the hope of his calling. Now, when he says the hope of his calling, two things are in question there. The one who calls, the call, are we together? And the called. Three things. The one who called, what the calling is, and the called. You will discover that in revelation. In or by revelation. You will discover that by revelation. He says, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Again, the one who has the inheritance, what the inheritance is, the saints in whom is the inheritance. We've seen the same thing. The hope of his calling will explain to you the one who has called, the one who is called, what the calling is. Then he says, which is, or I mean, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. So we said again, it has to do with the one who owns the inheritance, which earlier on is explained as the one who calls. Then again, we will discover what the inheritance is, which again I said is the calling. Then we will discover with whom is the inheritance, the saints. We will see insights about the saints with whom the inheritance is, what I earlier on mentioned as the one who is called. So if you read verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, I mean, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints are not two different things. Are we together? Are we together? The hope of his calling is the same thing he meant by the what? The riches of the glory of his inheritance. They are not two different things. They are just one thing. Another way of explaining the riches of the glory of his inheritance is by saying the hope of his calling. Are we together? There's the one who owns inheritance, which is the one who calls. There's the inheritance, are we together, which is the calling. So the riches of his inheritance is what he means by the hope of his calling. The riches of his inheritance, the hope of his calling, is the riches of his inheritance. That's what it means by the hope of his calling. Then there is the called, which refers to the saints with whom is the inheritance. Are we together? Then it says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards what who believe. Again, he's referring to the same thing. The expectation of his calling is what it means by the greatness of his power towards us. Are we together? So again, there is the one who has the power. There is the power. There is the one to whom the power is towards. The saints, his God, and the work. Are we together, church? Then it says, which he wrought in Christ. So this does not just talk about the resurrection. It talks about the entirety of God's plan, which he wrought in Christ. Many times when we read this text, our mind just goes into the resurrection event alone. No, it deals with the entirety of God's work in Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So look at this. Paul is saying, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened through revelation, because that revelation, the wisdom of the Spirit. He says, through that revelation, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you will know. So what is that knowledge in the Word? In the Word, we will discover the revelation of God. In the Word, you will also discover the revelation of the believer. The full disclosure of the believer is found in the full disclosure of the Word of God. The full disclosure of God, his person, his work, and his character is found in the expounding of his Word. So the Word of God is a person. The Word of God is also the revelation of that person, the insight of that person. In that insight, I will discover who God is. In that insight, I will also discover the believer. Then there's what he calls the calling, or the inheritance, or his power, which I can describe as what God has in the believer, or God's plan for the believer. So in the revelation of the Word, I will discover the revelation of God. I will discover the truth about God. Then I will discover the truth about the believer. Then I will discover what the believer has to do with God, or what God has to do with the believer. Glory to God forevermore. Now, whose revelation is that? It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So in the revelation of Christ, I will discover who God is. In the revelation of Christ, I will discover who the believer is. In the revelation of Christ, I will discover God's plan for the believer, or what the believer has to do with God. Glory to God forevermore. So Christ Jesus becomes, let me put it this way, becomes the university. The revelation of Jesus becomes the university for both God and man. The university of both God and man. Christ Jesus becomes the university of God, of both, or yeah, of, not for, of both God and man. Are we together? Where, who goes to the school? God does not go to the school. Are we together? It is man who goes to the school. It is man who has much to learn. It is man that we are praying that will receive the wisdom of the Spirit. He will receive the wisdom of the Spirit, which is revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. So the revelation is not for God. The revelation is for man. Man is the one being schooled. Man is the one in discovery. God is not discovering. Are we together? Man is the one discovering. Man is the one who will learn, not God. God is not learning. Man will learn. Praise God forevermore. I say praise God forevermore. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is the university of both God and man, where man goes, submits his mind to learn who God is. And in that knowledge, look at this, his identity and his essence is rediscovered by the Spirit of God. He goes to school to learn who God is. And in that revelation, are we together? He submits his mind to learn who God is. And in that revelation, in that knowledge, his identity and his essence is rediscovered by the Spirit. So the Word of God expounds unto us, gives us insight of both God and man. And man is the one learning. The Word of God explains to us both God and man, but man is the one what? Learning, not God. So the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of the Word, changes who? Does it change God or changes man? Man. The knowledge of the Word ought to change me. Glory to God. The knowledge of the Word affects me. The knowledge of the Word transforms me. God is not being transformed, man is being transformed. God is not being changed, man is being changed. Man is being affected. Glory to God. That's why the Christian must be vulnerable to God's word. See, I'm easily affected by God's word. You see, you mustn't be easily affected by any other thing outside God's word. Notice, I said easily affected. I didn't say don't be affected by anything. I said don't be easily affected. I'm vulnerable to the word of God. I'm vulnerable to the word of God. I'm open to the word. I am 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 open to the word. In the last study, we said the word of God ought to be to us like a mirror, not a window. A mirror means you're looking to be changed. You're looking to adjust. Window is something you just look at. But mirror is where you see yourself. That's what James said. He says, he that heareth the word and doeth it not is like a man that beholds his face as in a glass. His natural face as in a glass. He says, when you look into the word, when you hear the word, you are looking at your face. Your natural face. And then, right, I told you that when he says your natural face, he's not talking about this face without makeup. That's not what it means. The origin actually says your face as of birth. The face as of birth, that is the way you were born. Spiritually, not naturally. Are we together? Because if it had been naturally, maybe the way you were born, maybe your nose was tiny. Are we together? So maybe you can be interpreting the text as saying that the Bible is saying that the Bible will show me the immature me. No. He's saying the way you were born originally in the spirit. That's what you see when you look into the word. So when I look into the word, I am discovering how it ought to be. Is that clear, church? The word of God shows me how it ought to be. How it ought to be. The word of God shows me how it ought to be. The word of God shows me how it ought to be. The word of God shows me how it ought to be. Oh, so when I don't have the word in my heart, when I'm not listening to the word, when I'm not being in the teaching meetings, when I've not received the word of God, I naturally will not know how it ought to be. But the word of God comes to me, now I know. Hallelujah. The word of God comes to me, now I have clarity. The word of God comes to me, now I have assurance. The word of God comes to me, now I have direction. The word of God comes to me, now I have hope. Now I have something to hold on to. I didn't know who I was, but now the word of God has come to me, now I know who I am. So the word of God shows you how it ought to be. The word of God shows you the original. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. That's it. So the knowledge of the world changes me. I'm vulnerable for the world. I'm vulnerable to the world. I'm vulnerable to the world. I'm vulnerable to the world. In the name of Jesus, I'm vulnerable to the world. My heart is open 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 to the world. I hunger for the word. I go after the word. I'm yielded to the word. I'm the learner of the word. Glory to God. Don't be a teacher of the word. Be a learner of the word. Even when you are teaching, you must remain what? A learner. Praise God. So look at this, you said, and I'll close tonight. That there are moments in life. Moments. But look at this. What ought to characterize our lives is that we begin to consistently live by the word. What ought to characterize our life What ought to characterize our lives is that we consistently live by the word. Consistent. In all the moments of life. Moments, seasons, right? Seasons, right? In all the moments of life. God wants my life to be characterized where I begin to consistently live by the word. Glory to God. I live beyond moments, great moments, moments of joy, moments of joy. What makes you happy? You got a new job. You got a new job. You know you're going to be happy. If you've gotten a job before, after waiting for a while, you know what I'm talking about. Or you work a business, you got a contract, you're going to be happy. Oops. You'll be happy. Praise the Lord. Some folks get married, they're going to be happy. Ooh, hippie, hippie, you. You're happy. Sometimes you have a new baby boy or baby girl. You're happy. Baby boy, baby girl is the same. So I get back some weeks ago, say, why didn't I have the gender? I say, will I change you? Praise God. I think it's a stupid question to ask, is he a boy or a girl? Praise God. It's a very stupid question. Amen. Well, you don't know. Hallelujah. What are you going to do? You going to take it back? We're going to change it. Amen. Any gender we're changing? So, are we together? Are we together? What else makes people happy? Natural. You get admission into school. People looking for admission. You're going to be happy. What else? Praise the Lord. There are joyful moments in our lives. There are also not too good moments. What happens to the job? Maybe you lost a job. You lose a loved one. You lose a loved one. You lose a loved one. I need someone who loves you, don't love you again. I mean, the loss of a loved one, someone dies. Or someone loses a child. Whoa. I know sometimes ago, this is not a good an example. A couple who have waited for several years, the wife never put in. Then the wife put in after some weeks, a month, two, three. The child died. They had to open the woman up, take out their child. And I saw the gloominess in the face of the man and woman. But I knew something. Things like that happen to all of us. You know, there's something, say, it never happened to me in Jesus' name. It happened. Are we together? Are we together? Build a life of strength. You build a life of strength. Right? I say, I wish it away. It's not about wishing away. Things happen to all of us. We stay in faith, we pray, we believe the word, we use the word, we walk in the spirit, we follow the leading of the spirit, and things happen to all of us. There are moments of hardship, financial scarcity. Financial scarcity. Praise the Lord. Amen. David had such times, great times, not too great times. There were times when he went out to war and he won the war. By the time he came back to meet a home that he had taken captive. The enemy had gone away with their wives and their children, everything. What they brought from war became tiny compared to what they lost. Immediately, all the men that came in happy, oh, down blow their shirt. By the time they got home, they started crying. Then they gathered around David. Said, hey. I thought we were all happy. The day before yesterday at night, we were doing campfire. What do you call fire? Fire something. Bonfire, right? We were happy. But now everybody is back. Where's my wife? Pastor, where are my children? It's not me that took them. Are we together? That was in not a good moment. Abraham had the same. Joshua had the same. Jesus had the same. Hallelujah. Not too good moments. You are going to have not too good moments. Glory to God forevermore. What do you do when you have not too good moments? And how do you behave yourself when you have good moments in life? Paul had the same. Acts chapter 2 was a good moment. How many people got saved? 3,000. Hallelujah. Acts 4 was a not too good moment. They took the guy that preached. Look at this. You know what it means for me to hold the mic and preach and 3,000 got born again? They now took the same guy and took him and flogged him. In public. But do you observe something? The same joy they had when 3,000 were saved was the same joy they had that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for the name of the Lord. That is a man that understands joy. Are you learning joy? Glory to God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Paul had good moments, not too good moments. In Acts 4, Philippians 4:13, we're going to see those texts on Thursday. Philippians 4:13. He says, I've learned, he says, to be content therewith, whatever state I have. I've learned, I've been betrayed. He says, to be abased and to abound. I've learned to suffer need. Are we together? He says, for whatever state I am, I've learned to be content therewith. I can do all these things through Christ the strength in me. Good time, not too good time. Moments where your account is robust. Moments where you barely have enough to take care of yourself. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to me. Are we together, church? Those are seasons of life. They're seasons of life. Peter, by Acts 10, he goes out to the house of Cornelius to preach the gospel. They also suffered persecutions. 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 So you find Christians who don't know how to handle such moments. They are not matured Christians. There are winds, there are diverse seasons. Sometimes you trust in God for healing in your body. Healing in your body. Sometimes it's the healing of a loved one, a friend, healing of a loved one in their body. Praise God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, everybody. In 2 Timothy 4, and then in verse 1, look at what Paul tells Timothy. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Someone say, preach the word. Be instant in what? In good moments and in not good moments. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. Now, in context here, in season and out of season here, if you read in context, was discussing periods when he would be known and periods when he would not be known. Periods where people will see and acknowledge your work. And periods where it will be as though no one is noticing what you're doing for the Lord. He says, be consistent. Be consistent with what you're doing for the Lord, even in moments where it seems as though nobody can notice what you're doing for the Lord. And this is an instruction for a pastor. He says, be consistent in season, out of season. Glory to God forevermore. So there are not too good moments in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then in verse 15. Look at what Paul says again to the church at Corinth. He says in 56, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us victory through Christ. It is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why will he say God gives you victory? Victory is because there will be challenges. It says God giveth us the victory. This is the present continuous tense. He gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. He had said earlier on, I die daily. He says he gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. Why is victory being spoken of? Because there will be challenge. There will be moments that you will register as challenging periods. Hallelujah. But look at verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, can we read together? Be ye what? Steadfast. Someone say steadfast. Tell your neighbor, say, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, be ye steadfast. A Christian must learn to be consistent. Consistent. A Christian must have the ability to be consistent. So quickly, how do I become consistent? Very simple. I must learn to break down my goals into everyday living. Consistency is by breaking down my goals into everyday living. Do something about your goal every day. Is it clear? Now, this I'm talking about spiritual development. I'm talking about in our walk with God. But definitely that's applicable to different aspects of our lives. Hallelujah. Your inability to break your goals down into everyday living, are we together? Will make you to live in great moments. But after those moments, you discover that you don't achieve much. You're going to have great moments. Because great moments come to all of us. But if you do not learn to break down your goals into everyday living, you are going to discover that despite the great moments you had, you could not achieve much. Despite the great moments you had, you do not have the strength for the not too good moments. Despite the great moments you had, you do not have the wisdom. Praise God. That's why, because many times what we need to do is that when we have a great moment, are we together? Great moments are meant to be broken down. To break down the great moments. What are the lessons in the great moments? Glory to God. What are great moments? Look at this. Look at this, for example. Great moments are special meetings. Great moments are special meetings. Special meetings. Great moments are special meetings. Camp meetings are great moments. In Christ, discipleship camp meeting is a great moment. We come together under the influence of combined sessions by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. We have a great moment. We are keeping the apostolic tradition. It's a great moment. A great moment where we pray. Sometimes you find out that, oh, you were struggling to pray for 3 hours. Immediately in the course of the conference, you were able to pray about 30 hours altogether. You were able to pray about 50 hours. At the stretch, you're able to pray 12 hours at the stretch, 18 hours at the stretch, 24 hours at the stretch. And after some weeks, after the meeting, you couldn't even sustain 3 hours of prayer. Why? Because you did not sit down and say, what did I learn in this great moment? What happened in this great moment? Praise God. Notice the Acts 2 events. In Acts 2, around verse, Peter got up, they had a day of Pentecost, the event, a transit in Acts 2, from verse 1 down to verse 5 and 6. Are we together? By verse 4, he said, they all spoke with tongues, Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5 and 6, people got up, started mocking them. By verse 16, Peter got up, started from Joel, he preached the gospel through to 38, 39. By 40, he says about 3,000 people got saved. Hallelujah. That was a great moment. In Acts 3, again, was a great moment. Had a gate called Beautiful. He got a man that was impotent. He got him healed by faith through laying on of hands. Hallelujah. And then the man got up. And then he got another 5,000 people say, oh, that was a great moment. That was a great moment. That was a great moment. And look at this. In Acts chapter 6, when murmuring arose, that was not a great moment. But look at what Peter said. Peter said, it is not meet. It is not reasonable. It doesn't make any sense that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. But we will give ourselves. Choose ye among these 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? And faith. Are we together? Then it says, but we will continue. We will give ourselves. Are we together? Unto what? Prayer. And to the ministry of the word. So there was a consistent activity. Prayer and the word. He didn't just live at the great moment of Acts chapter 2. There was now prayer and the word. Undertone. Look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. What is undertone in your life? What is powering the outside? What is behind the scene? What is the consistent thing about you? What is behind the scene? What is behind? What is powering the outside? Then he steps in. Look here among you, 7 men of honest report, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Are we together? But see, full of wisdom now, he says, and of the Holy Ghost, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. In other words, these were not to be people who got filled with the Holy Ghost in the services alone. He says, people who have a culture of living a life full of the Holy Ghost. Someone say consistency. Someone say consistency. They have a life of being full of the Holy Ghost. Everyday living of being full of the Holy Ghost. That's what we see in Acts 2. He says, seven men. Hallelujah. Seven men. Seven men. Acts 6. He says, look among yourself, men, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So this is not just about what they do during the services. No. No. He says, men who live like this every day. So I must break my goals into everyday living, or else I will not achieve much. And when I break my goals into everyday living, it makes me consistent, because I'll do it every day. Hallelujah. So great moments can be special meetings. They can be Thursday evenings. Great moments can be Sunday mornings. It can be workers training, workers meetings, it can be prayer meetings, Holy Ghost meetings. It could be miracle services. Miracle services. Hallelujah. Where you come around with a sick body, will lay hands, trust in the power of the Holy Ghost, and sickness comes out of your body. But what do you do after? What do you do after the healing meeting? Do you have something that goes on consistently in your life? In union, in tandem, in relation with the healing meeting? Do you have something that you do daily about that is related to the healing meeting that took away the sickness out of your life? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at that. God wants us to have a life of consistency in His word. In Acts 1 also, you look at the choice of the man that will replace Judas. It was consistency they spoke of. Consistency. Don't say consistency. So don't just be a man of great moments. Be an everyday man. Be an everyday woman. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Men full, they were full of Holy Ghost. In Acts 6 verse 5 and 8, they were full of Holy Ghost. Acts 7:55, Stephen, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So Philip rather, Stephen was that kind of guy who always got filled with the Holy Ghost. That kind of guy who always got filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 11, he says Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost. By Acts 13, he says Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost. Consistency. Full of the Spirit. Not just on Sundays. Full of the Holy Ghost. Not just on Thursdays. Full of the Holy Ghost. Not just during special meetings. Church services. Full of the Holy Ghost every day. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So moments are great, but look at this. We have to drive those moments into consistency. So when we come together like this also, to receive the word of God, and we are stirred up in our lives, we are stirred up in our hearts, in the service, we are stirred up. We want to do what is right. We want to glorify God. We want to act on the word. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to stay on God's word. We want to serve the Lord. We want to do the things that are right, because we are in the service. It's an atmosphere of faith and revelation. Hallelujah. Then God wants His word to come into our lives also consistently. You go beyond the public. Amen. Notice, there's nobody that is healthy because you eat good food in a party. Your health is about what you eat daily outside the party. The fact that you eat something excellent in a party doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. If all you eat is junk and you eat all sorts of bad foods, you take all sorts of sugary sauce every time, you don't cook your foods properly, you eat rotten fruits, you say, Mawari Amajebe. You leave your food on the desk and then you go away and rats come to feast on it. I say, Ewolejeku, and then you take the rest. You are not going to be healthy. You're healthy by what you take day in, day out. Someone say day in, day out. So look at this church. Spiritual growth, pray for me, is not by moments. Spiritual development is not by moments. Spiritual development can be inspired by moments, can be inspired by meetings, can be inspired by the things of the move of the Holy Ghost in a service, can inspire spiritual growth. But spiritual growth is inspired by what we do daily. Mike Murdock said, the life of a champion is in his daily habits. Yeah, the life of a champion is in the things he does daily. Glory to God. Joshua 1:8 talks about doing things daily. Joshua 1:8. Glory to God forevermore. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law, he says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. But then thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. Again, in Psalms chapter 1, we see the same admonition given to Joshua. In Psalm chapter 1, in verse 1, he says, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall bring forth his fruit, he says, in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice, the verse 3 is an illustration. He likens such a man to the tree that is beside the rivers of water. When will I become like a tree well watered? When do I become like a tree well nourished? When I apply the day and night to the meditation of the word. So if I start meditating on the word now, I don't become like a tree that is planted by the waters. But after doing it for a while, I will become like a tree. After doing it for a while, and by doing it consistently, then he says that tree does not wither. This is talking about spiritual development. He says he bringeth forth his fruits in a season. The writer of Hebrews talk about the season where you ought to be a teacher. We said that last week, Thursday. The time where you ought to be a teacher, where you ought to be a guide. And what is that? A time where we ought to be citing you as an example. You don't become an example for us in the local church. You don't become someone we should talk about. You don't become someone we should mention as a model. You don't become someone we should mention as a standard. You don't get into our teaching as a standard until you've done the same thing over and over. We've observed your life. Consistency with the word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 15, he says the same thing. He says, meditate upon this and give thyself only unto them, that thy profit may appear to all. It means you will become an example when you give yourself unto it. You have not given yourself unto it because you did it once. You've not given yourself unto it because you did it 2, 3, 4, 5 times. No! You've given yourself unto it when you do it over the years. You given yourself unto it. When we observe you do the same things in good moments and not too good moments. You've given yourself unto it when we see you do the same things in the seasons where it is convenient and the times when it is no more convenient. You've given yourself to it when we see you do the same things over and over in every season, in every weather, at all times. You've given yourself over and over to the same things. Then we can say, you have given yourself unto it. Is your profiting will appear unto all. Church, we have a responsibility. And we trust God that our eyes are open as we again revisit His word as our custom is. We have a responsibility to not live in moments, but to break the realities of great moments into everyday living. Church services must follow you home. Learning properly. Camp meetings must follow you home. Learning properly. Prayer meetings in the cells, in services, must follow you home. Holy Ghost meetings must follow you home. Bible seminars must follow you home. Cell meetings must follow you home. Workers meeting, workers conference, workers training, workers workshop must follow you home. Some people will call it having a personal relationship with God. No, I don't call it that. I call it taking the great moments into your everyday living. Everyday living. So spiritual development, church. What can we call spiritual development? We can call it walking with God. Walking with God. Or walking in God's will. Or building a strong Christian life. Or developing a strong faith walk. It's about what you do daily. What you do daily. What you do daily. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at this. I will know the trajectory of your Christian walk by your daily habits. You will also know the trajectory of your Christian life. Whether you're building a strong Christian life or you're building a vulnerable and a weak Christian life, which is not a Christian life at all, you will know by your daily habits. So we take a look at learning properly, walking in the Word. Hallelujah. We can stand to our feet tonight as we commit ourselves again that in this study, my heart will discover that simple devotion, faithful approach to the great moments that we share, that we have together as a church, applying it to my everyday living. That as we learn about learning properly, I will learn about learning properly. I will learn properly. I will learn to walk in the Word. Pray for yourself tonight. Pray the Holy Ghost. My heart is vulnerable to the world. With a soft and sharpened, I take a bold walk in your word. I have the Holy Ghost life.
So that my life will be changed every day. Lord, if you're watching this life, let it change my life every day. If your word affects people, let it affect me every day. I commit myself to revelation knowledge. To live by it, to learn by it, to see through it, to live by it.
To the world, I don't struggle with the world.
Day by day, your word stands sure.
Yeah.